as we welcome you back to Crunch Time, because it's a Thursday. We're into the home stretch, which can only mean one thing.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Lightning round, it's the lightning round.
Nick is doing the Go-Go Boots 60s dance.
My favorite dance.
Like the swim, the, like you see in like Batman movies and like mod movies, the mod squad, and on Laughing. Well done.
If you can't dance good, dance weird.
That was awesome. All right, let's let it roll.
The Rams have made yet another big pre-NFL draft day trade. This time, instead of getting about a million draft picks, they seem to have given up a million draft picks to the Titans to get up to the number one spot in this year's draft. A trade that makes Sonny Weaver Jr. from the movie Draft Day shake his head and thinks that the Rams might have given up a little too much for the number one pick. A, the Rams have the top running back, a good O-line, strong defense. They were only a half-decent QB away from competing for the top spot in the NFC West. It's the Rams that win this trade. They get their guy. The Rams have seen how badly it goes when you trade away picks to get one guy, and now the Titans have six picks in the first three rounds to really build up on the future of their team. The Titans win this trade based on what history has to say. C, I've taken Econ 101, and any transaction between two people means that both sides win by getting what they want and losing what they don't want.
All I could think about for B is Mike Ditka in a Hawaiian shirt and a lei giving up his entire draft for Ricky Williams and not even taking a whiff of the playoffs. C, both get what they want. We don't know. I'm going to do the on the surface, I think via accumulation, I'm going to give the nod to Tennessee. So I'm going to go B.
It has been reported that both Dylan Brooks and Chris Boucher will declare for the NBA draft, but they are not hiring agents, leaving the door open that they can return for their junior and senior seasons, respectively. A, this makes sense for both guys who had great tournament runs and can capitalize on moving towards the draft. B, really, Boucher? You get the NCAA to give you an extra year of eligibility and you decide to leave? Come on, man. C, there isn't anything to worry about for Duck fans. Both guys can still come back to Oregon after the draft combine, and they probably will.
I think they're both NBA prospects, so why not get their name out there, get an evaluation, and see what they need to work on this year. I don't even think Boucher gets drafted. And if Brooks did, I would think it would be mid-second round on. So yeah, I think there's an element of sense. You might as well capitalize on the rule. But I do think they're both coming back, so we'll go A.
All right. Last week, I asked you if the Padres getting shut out for three straight games was more about the Dodgers pitching or the Padres' abundance of crap. And since then, the Padres have been shut out another two times, including today where Cincinnati's Vince Velasquez struck out 16 Padres. A, the Padres are a lot worse than we thought they were. If a guy from Cincinnati is going to shut them out, you've got more problems
wow.
than you think. Cincinnati's not good. They're not going to be good. It's kind of embarrassing. B, this isn't really bad as people think. The Padres are seventh in the NL in runs scored, so when they do score, they're at least doing a lot of it. C, it's not the offense, it's the pitching. Their ERA is well over 5 as a team, so if you're not scoring up runs, giving up a lot of runs is just as bad.
So basically, they have a 34-year-old James Shields and a bunch of question marks. Yeah, their pitching is not good. It's a terrible hitter's park, so I don't know if you can fault the sticks. So I guess that all adds up to C.
Kobe went vintage Kobe in his final game, scoring 60 on 50-plus shots, even laughing that everyone on the Lakers in that game decided to give him a shot on about 99% of the Lakers' possessions. At the same time, Steph Curry set an NBA record for 402 three-pointers in a season. He holds the 1, 2, and like 4 spot on that list. No one even has 300 in a season. A, the Lakers gave Kobe a send-off that all Laker fans wanted him to have, a huge ball-hogging 60-point game where he hits the game winner. B, the Warriors won their 73rd game in the season, can count their losses on their hands with one finger left over to show off their championship ring to all the haters. How is Kobe managing to overshadow this incredible team performance? Or C, Kobe was a legend. The Warriors still need to fight to win a title with their record-breaking record to get the attention they deserve, and that's why Kobe is getting all of this attention today.
I think the thing to remember is Golden State was going to play last night, and regardless of the outcome, still be a pretty heavy favorite to win the championship. So we're talking through the rest of April, May, and half of June, they're still going to be in the spotlight. I think this was all about an L.A. Hollywood Showtime moment. It lived up to its billing and then some. It's kind of exactly what everybody down there wanted. It's what ESPN wanted. This one's all about A. And that's it. All right. That's your lightning round brought to you by the Tampa Bay Lightning.